Content warning. This episode contains swearing, complete spoilers for Infinity Train books 1 through 3, discussion of Gamzee and Eridan, mention of David Bowie, mention of sex, and discussion of death and murder. Big thanks to Danny the Spoonlord and Janiah Riley, our Masters in Hushian Analysis recipients on Patreon. Thank you so much for supporting the show. Our intro theme song, Sunbanger, is by @_tittle on Instagram. Our outro theme is by JoJo Funk McLovin, who can be found at funkmclovin.bandcamp.com. Enjoy the episode.
That one scene in Twilight, it's like, I know what you are. Say it out loud. Randall.
I'm Amelia's biceps number one fan.
Hi, I'm Randall Water Apocalypse Conspiracy Theorist.
And I'm the number one supporter of Randall taking down the bottled water industry.
Welcome to Will It Homestuck, a podcast where we put media in the Homestuck blender to see what comes out. I'm Bradley, I go by he, him pronouns, and you can find me at the Will It Homestuck Discord.
I'm Danny, and I use they, them pronouns. You can find me in the Will It Homestuck Discord because that's the only place I want to be found.
I'm Tay. My pronouns are she, they, and you can find me at MeowsersWowsers on Twitter.
And we are covering the currently HBO Max-supported show, Infinity Train.
We did all of the characters of book one, and we decided that book two and book three were probably best done together, especially considering that there's some recurring characters from book to book.
Welcome to the Infinity Train Part 2 class specting. Woo!
Last time on X-Men.
So first off, we're going to decide, because last episode we completely forgot to actually decide what our final class specs are for at least the human characters, because those are the ones that really are going to matter later on whenever we do the game.
Yeah, because with some of these other ones, we can decide some kind of role for them as a, I guess, more Homestuck adjacent thing.
They're the denizens.
Exactly. Yes. I agree.
And sprites.
Yeah.
Just
more Carpathians.
Consorts.
Yeah, the Black and White Kings.
Yes. I love 1-1 as a tiny king. Short king rights.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, for Tulip, Maid of Light versus Maid of Mind. What's the consensus on that?
I did Maid of Mind. Yay! Yay me!
Ooh, we both did Maid of Light.
So, if we're taking it to a vote, unfortunately, that would automatically make or Maid of Light, but I feel like that's not really fair.
But yeah, it's pretty cheap.
It. Yeah. Alright, so merits of Maid of Light and Mind are honestly kind of about the same. It's just a matter of deciding
which is more important.
Yeah, which has, I guess, the correct connotations.
Yeah, I have a lot more Light players, like, coming later. So, right now she's my only Mind player, I think.
Gotcha.
She's the smarty one.
So as to not repeat doubles.
No doubles.
No doubles.
I have so many doubles.
It's possible, I feel like Mind may be slightly be more fitting because Tulip doesn't... Well, actually, no, I was going to say she doesn't really have a whole luck thing, but, like, neither does Rose, really.
No, it's mostly a Vriska thing.
At least with Rose, she, like, had plans and such. In our class spec cheat sheet, the Light is fortune, knowledge, luck, and narrative, relevancy, and spotlight. She's not really, like, into the spotlight as much as the Light player. Mind is pathways, thoughts, rationality.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? I'm okay with acquiescing on that. I'm okay with being Maid of Mind.
Yeah, I think so too, because I feel like with Light, you have some more concrete ideas and you feel a bit more strongly about your ideas being correct. Whereas Tulip is kind of willing to admit when she's wrong.
Yeah,
it's more of an uncertainty sort of intelligence.
What are we going to do without Tulip? Die of boredom?
Die of boredom.
She's so cute.
I know. She really is.
She is. Okay, now, Amelia, we have all had very different ideas on that, so...
Except the two of us shared rage, but that was it.
We did share rage, but the huge difference of ordinary class versus master class
Cancel
is pretty
me now.
Big. Yes.
Cancel me now.
I don't want Amelia with a codpiece, I'm sorry.
I have a new master class for someone in season 2. Dun dun dun!
Dun dun dun!
Amelia codpiece writes, I'm sorry.
I mean, who am I to deny her?
Our buff grandma. She deserves it.
God, she does she ever. It. She deserves everything. With she those arms, she can take anything she wants.
I have her as a witch of time, which I still like.
Which I think is super fitting. I'd be totally down with putting her as time, especially since time is kind of a really important thing to peg down. And with all... Spoiler alert, with all of my prospecting, I don't think I really had a time player.
I didn't either, so yeah, that's actually... I'm actually perfectly fine with that, just because we need time.
Yeah.
And I don't have a time player at all.
Or you can also, too, say, like, if we wanted to possibly do a masterclass with her still, we can kind of mix and match some of these as well. It doesn't necessarily have to be, like, pick one or the other.
I think you'll like my masterclass in season 2. Yes.
Yes.
So we're defaulting to you twice, Maid of Mind for Tulip.
Oh, yeah.
And Witch of Time for Amelia. I like that.
I like that too.
I'm fine with that.
Okay.
You win! You win, Danny!
Yay! I win class affecting. I won Homestuck.
Thanks for playing.
You won the game! Thanks for playing.
Play again.
Please don't! Alright, so okay. Let's move on to book 2. The characters that we decided to classpect were Lake, Jesse, possibly Alan Dracula. Just, I don't think that one was ever actually solidified or not.
No, that's more of a ha-ha.
That's a ha-ha funny. And also, I don't know if you guys did Mace.
I did not. I had an idea for the Mirror Cops, but not a classpecting idea.
Okay.
Okay, so Mace and Steve, I have Game Construct, Cop, SS and DD in their passive class if they were class-spected.
Okay.
But mostly I had them as Spade, Slick, and Diamond Stroke.
That's what I did!
Nice.
Yes! Same brain.
Oh, your brain's so big!
I'm small brain, I guess.
Smooth brain.
Smooth brain. Me no think good.
Okay. Alright. I'm seeing just how you have it organized in your document, so I guess Lake, then Jesse, and then Mirror Cops.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Do you want to classpect the Toad? Because he's a very good boy.
The Toad?
The Toad? I didn't think about classpecting the Toad, no.
Not at all.
And Randall. Do you want to update your Randall classpect? Now that we have more information on the fact that he's everywhere.
I don't know what I would put Randall as.
I mean, why not little, like, weird Randall constructs for Tulip, though? I'm just saying. They're all Randall.
So, the only thing I changed about Randall was changing him from active to passive. He's now a Knight of Life. I made him a Knight of Life because he's made of water and he serves water, I guess.
He serves his purpose.
He serves you life. He serves life. He is all the water in all the world, and that's how the world ends. Not with a bang, but with a hello.
Hello.
When our planet finally dies and the tectonic plates stop working, beneath the fissures of it all, just little Randall's poking out.
Hello.
The planet's dying. It's molten. Oh, it has gone out.
Now it's time for Randall.
There's mostly nickel down there, if you didn't know.
The planet wouldn't die. It just wouldn't be habitable for anyone but Randall and cockroaches. I'm the only thing left of a human society.
You could make an AU akin to what's that Pixar movie, the one with the little robot,
Wall-E.
Yes, Wall-E. Except it's Randall with his little cockroach friend.
Could you imagine, real quick, just because I'm thinking about the ship's AI, with the personality of Randall?
Oh no.
Randall and 1-1 are dating, but they can't ever be together because he's a robot.
Because he doesn't have lips.
I mean, short-circuiting 1-1, though. That's so sad. They can never touch. They're in love.
It's like Rogue and the X-Men. If I touch him, he'll die.
Poor Randall. He just wants to kiss his robot boyfriend.
If I do that, then he'll be gone. And that'll put the real donut holer through my heart.
Bad. Do not donut holer. 1-1.
There's a 1-1 shaped cavity in here.
Perfectly round.
It's perfectly round. Just like a donut holer.
Have you considered buying a donut holer?
Call 555-555-555-555-555 donut holer.
That's too many numbers.
It's the Infinity Train. Eventually they'll run out of numbers.
You're just gonna fill up like Simon.
Like pie, but with all fives.
Guys, if you have too many numbers, the gome will come after you.
And you'll turn into dust.
Oh god, can you imagine if you were on the train and your phone number was whatever your number was right at that moment, so you're trying to call somebody, but you keep getting the wrong person because their number only went up one or two, like...
We're assuming that their numbers work like a telephone.
I mean, yes, that's it.
Call Amelia just by, like, smashing in every key.
Just like, I guess that's high enough.
Just like an excited child running their hands on an elevator buttons. Amelia!
Eventually, I'll get there.
Need to class spec season 2, people.
Yes. Right. So who wants to go first? Last time it was me.
I can.
Okay.
I had MT as a... active class, and I either had her as a lord or a witch of rage.
Interesting.
She's just angry at everything, and she's going to use her rage to make things happen. Like, she uses her rage to get what she wants, but she uses it to get or at least convince 1-1 that she has a number to escape the train, which no null has ever done before, as far as we know. But I had her as a lord because it's a command class. I figured, since she was using her rage to change all these things, and since rage is such a huge... It's very plot-relevant, it's plot-heavy, it drives everything forward.
And two, you've got to think about, like, sort of the same train of thought that I was on with Amelia, having a master class like that, because Amelia, you know, broke a lot of stuff as far as, like, a game construct, but Lake does too, in that regards.
Yeah, in our little classic cheat sheet, under rage, it says fury, anger, passion, chaos, and defiance. And, like, her wanting to be out in the mirror world and be her own person, I think is very defiant of her.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a laundry list of Lake's personality, isn't it?
That's true.
She's angry, and she uses it to get what she wants, which is off the train and being her own person.
In that same train of thought, that aspect of individualism is very much a part of Lake's character and journey, which is a lot of what I'm trying to focus on with here is, yes, their personality, but what is their journey? So for me, I know I said this last time, but I didn't really get to talk more heavily into it, even though I did have kind of an idea of Lake being a carnal sprite that was desperately trying to be a person, if I had to class spec her Thief of Breath, because breath is, you know, all about freedom, individualism, and thief being that she is choosing to take that for herself by any means necessary, including kind of being okay with trying to take that girl's number. It didn't work, but she tried it.
She sure did.
She said, sorry, I need this more than you do.
And she was right. She deserves it. She deserves everything. She deserves to be named after a Randall.
She deserves the world.
She does.
All the crap that she went through. You want to talk about somebody that has trauma after coming yeah, off right? the train. Therapy train my ass, more like trauma train.
So I took some notes. Okay. One of the things that she said to Jesse in the first episode, you can't go around deciding names for people without asking, after he called her Crumb Girl for the first time. I think that's neat.
Yeah.
I mean, her whole journey kind of has so much weirdness in it.
It really does.
It really, really does.
It's like a lot of season 2 was had a lot to do with naming, because like even the toad, he decided his own name after he got out of his own car. He's like, call me Terrence. He's like, was that your name before? He said no, and he didn't elaborate. It's not your business.
And that's what's so refreshing about it. You don't have to.
It's not anyone else's business.
You don't have to.
Yeah. I don't have to explain anything.
You can decide your name whenever you want to decide your name.
My choice.
And you can make it anything you want.
He called her MT, but like she elaborated, that's not my name. That's what I'm just letting you call me.
Mm-hmm. And then whenever she got out, she said, you know what? Like, yeah. And it's just the first thing that she saw, but it was beautiful.
Yeah.
And that's all it has to be. It doesn't have to be anything more than what you want it to be. And that's refreshing.
Lake said queer rights.
And like, he was Jesse's little brother was like introducing himself first, and he's like not assuming that her name was still MT, even though he knew her as MT. He's like, what's your name gonna be? And she's like, Lake. And it's like teaching the little kiddos to be okay with people who don't decide exactly on their names.
Yeah, like, you know, just ask. That's all it takes.
I'm sorry. I think I talked over you, Brad.
No, you're good. It's just, it's so refreshing to talk about. It really is. Because, I mean, when is the last time that you can think of that something like this did something like that?
Right, honestly.
Made a point of being like, you can choose your own name if you want. You can choose, you know, what you want them to call you.
One last thing. She also says to people, I'm not any of the names people call me.
I love her.
She's very good. Okay, your turn, Brad.
Alrighty, so for Lake, I put, and I have such a problem with using this class because I just want to use it a lot because I find it very interesting to think from this perspective of destruction, but Prince of Void.
Ooh.
Specifically, she's active, mm-hmm. of course. I think we all kind of agreed on that.
Yeah.
But she's destroying the obscurity. It's omnipresent in her life. She has this, you know, constant battle against the idea that she's nothing more than a reflection, that she can't change or affect anything. She's been constantly shoved into this box underneath someone else's shadow. And so she's destroying that void in order to make a name for herself and keep existing as a full-fledged person. She destroys anything and everything that gets in that way in sometimes some of the most violent ways. in literal destruction sense. I'm looking at you, Mace getting wheeled.
Yeah, I can absolutely agree with that, especially because while I was working on this, and just looking at all the aspects laid out in front of me, just so I could kind of look at them all and be like, something that I never realized about Void in particular is the sign for space is, you know, those little wheelie bits. But Void is specifically the space in between those.
The inverse.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah, but not just inverse, like the space in between space. Like, I guess a boundary being broken.
Sort of like if you like flip the colors around, what's it called?
Yeah, color inversion. It's really neat from a design standpoint, because obviously designing that symbol needs to be recognizably different enough from space, but like, again, just moving the lines to being the literal space in between space, I think, is very interesting.
And considering what space did Lake inhabit, she inhabited the mirror, the space in between spaces.
Yeah, but what is it that in the notes of Void, it's like not irrelevancy, but like kind of being out of people's view.
Yeah, exactly. Being a mover and a shaker, but just in the background.
Yeah, in the shadows, more or less.
In our little class spec cheat sheet, it says, lacking, absence, secrecy, unsolved mysteries. This time on BuzzFeed Unsolved.
Yeah. You want to talk about secrecy in particular? You had Lake walking around spray painting every reflective surface and constantly hiding from everything. I mean, she's literally walking around like a thief in the night type situation.
Yeah. If you're trying to compare, like, Void as the inverse of space, it's like, space is the unwilling loneliness.
Hmm.
Void is seeking it out.
Yeah.
We're reading into things today.
Oh my goodness, we're going hard today. Is there anything else anybody wanted to add with Lake?
What class did you have for her?
Oh, I'm sorry, Prince of Void.
Destroying the Void. That's neat. I like that.
Like I said. Like I said, thinking about it, like, destroying a boundary.
All right, now we're on to Jesse Boy.
Jesse is a very good boy.
What do we got?
Okay, I decided that he was a passive class just because he's so group-oriented, and I made him a Knight of Blood. I gave him Carcathmantis.
Shit, you were so close to mine, and I originally had him as that.
Yeah, I wrote him as either Knight or Page because he's in the service class, and I didn't know which was which at the time, so I wrote them both down, and it is Knight that is passive. But I think, like, it's...
I wish you could see me over here, because whenever you said Page, I got really excited.
You put him as a page of blood?
Not of blood, but yeah, so it's funny because then you ended up with, like, right in between me and Taze here.
Yeah, I think, like, as soon as he was introduced, he was like, I can make friends with everyone. I want to make friends with everyone. And not only that, but he wants them all to be happy, even if it's at the expense of himself. Like, he doesn't do things because it might be inconvenient for someone else. And he also, like, will sacrifice things for other people, even if he doesn't have to. And, like, his whole journey was discovering, I need to do things for myself. And it's okay to do things. Which...
Yeah.
I think he's a very good blood player. I think him going back and, like, using his connection to MT to get back on a train, which I don't think anyone had done before at that point, he went back for her. And I think
it's
neat. There's one heterosexual couple that deserves rights, and it's them.
I mean, is it really het, though, if Lake is non-binary? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's still het, but it's LGBT.
It's queer.
Yeah. It's still a queer relationship.
Anything else you would like to say before moving on?
I probably have other notes for him. He's very friendly.
Jesse's Carcufantis, tweet it.
Yeah, he also had to overcome his toxic masculinity to grow as a person.
Seems to be a thing with knights.
He's fated to be a tree boy. It's a good thing. He had to overcome all of his bad friends. It's very amusing. He practiced kissing in a mirror, which...
What a nerd.
Yeah, that is a very Carcat thing. He probably did do that.
Can you imagine?
Yeah. Am I wrong?
Oh.
Let's see. I can't leave her there. My friend is trapped on a train.
Yeah, it's not going back for somebody else.
Mm-hmm. He's, like, protecting her in his own little way. Mm-hmm. Using their connection to each other. He's just the perfect little Carcat. He's, like, exactly Carcat.
Carcat, but
there is
nicer.
Nothing
much,
different
much
about
nicer.
Jesse and Carcat. There are no differences. I see nothing.
None difference.
Except for the volume at which he speaks. It's like you took the Carcat volume switch and you just went in the opposite direction.
It's a little,
you have
less.
A picture of Carcat. You have a picture of Jesse. They're the same picture.
Put them side by side. I'm sorry, I can't tell any difference, sir. Troll Jesse.
I do think they're different. It's just for the lulz.
Troll Jesse. Anyway,
that's him.
Can you imagine Troll Jesse?
Oh, he'd be so cute.
It's just Carcat. We've established that.
Okay, but would he be a mutant blood?
No, I think he'd be a different class. So he'd be like a Knight of Blood, but he'd be a different class. Maybe like a Leo.
Ooh, I could see that.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
He's a good boy. Anyway,
goodest of boys.
It's your turn, Tay.
Okay, so I almost had him as a Knight of Blood, because for very similar reasons. He does very much have that connection to other people, but again, going with kind of how I'm doing this, focusing on the journey specifically, I put him as a Knight of Heart instead, because with his personal journey, he kept putting relationships before himself, but with his personal journey, he has learned to make himself as an individual much more important in his life than it previously was. Because it's not that Heart isn't caring about other people, but it's very much knowing yourself, and he does very much begin to understand himself in that regard. Also with Knight, too, again, similar reasons, just kind of putting other people before himself. He kind of has this noblesse oblige in the beginning of, I'm not going to rock the boat. I'm going to give in to peer pressure to be non-combative.
I'll mess up my younger brother's life just to not say no.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You failed the man test.
It's being very bad at his aspect at first, and then learning how to actually weaponize it and use it.
He could have been like role-playing as a Knight of Blood, but he actually being a Knight of Heart.
Yeah, something like that. Just because that importance of self is such a big part of his journey, so that's why I put Heart as opposed to Blood.
I've been quite quiet over here because I have things to say that are very much involved with that.
All right, you want to go for it? Because I don't have much else to add to that.
I'm very interested in your things.
Okay. Exact same reasons, except Page of Heart.
Why because... the more active one?
No, Page isn't active. Page is passive.
Page is active. Knight is passive.
Is it?
Yep.
Well, I screwed up, huh?
Reverse it then. We it's both okay. have the same smooth brain.
I had to look it up, so.
Messed that one up. But it's still, the Page part, I think, still holds true. Because I don't think we ever see Jesse reach his full potential. He's on the path. He's on that path.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Of getting to a point where he might, you know, actually reach his full potential in the future. But I don't think we see it. I don't think we ever see him actually reach that. Because, yeah, he goes back and he apologizes to his brother. But he has not stood up to those same kids yet.
That's true.
He hasn't actually made a stand and put his foot down and said, you know, I'm not going to follow what you guys do anymore. So I think he still has room to grow. And I think that he's got a lot of room to grow. And that's very pagey. That's my reasoning behind that.
True. And what is a page if not a complete pushover?
Exactly. Exactly.
This is true. It's more active than he is, I think.
Yeah, that's my bad. I totally, for some reason, was thinking Paige was passive. So, yeah. Oh, well.
I think it's that pushover nature that pages have, so it's like, it's an easy mistake to make.
Yeah, pretty much. I think that's really, honestly, the reason. It's just like, pushover must be passive. Oh, wait.
It's because passive serves other people and page serves selves. The knights are passive, which is odd. It's interesting, but it's odd.
It is quite odd, yeah, because knights definitely seem like they're more active, but at the same time, we do see several knights being more passive, so it's like, yeah, I guess.
Like they're a weird hybrid, like they're almost in between passive and active sometimes.
They protect other people.
They're active through their passive nature.
They're being passive by being controlled by other people, even it's just protect them. They're just the goodest people.
The goodest people.
The goodest
children. Okay, we have Alan Dracula.
No, I didn't do anything, but I will say the thing that Brad came up with, I'm 100% on board. I could not think of anything better than that, so we'll just say that the thing that he came up with, which was the only thing that we talked about prior to this, before starting this, just because it was... So glowy brain, how could he not share it with me? So I'm 100% on board Team Brad with the Alan Dracula diagnosis.
But we don't know Brad's Alan Dracula diagnosis. I need to know.
You'll find out.
I would like to know.
My idea for Alan Dracula was that would be their Beck. Whenever they prototype him, absolute chaos.
Oh my goodness.
That's how you lose the game right then and there. Prototyping Alan Dracula means you are going to lose.
Alan Dracula is their first guardian.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Which would kind of really be sick if you had, like, think about how the art would look for that. Just this, like, this snow white buck, whatever. So these giant antlers and everything. No eyes.
Electricity crackling off the horns. That would be so cool.
Right.
It's like a hive swap. In Hive Swap Act 1, Tetrarch Dymek, his little deer cat.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be really cool.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
Alan Dracula's the deer cat.
It would be interesting, too, because rather than being like, the deer is not really somebody's pet like a dog is, but if you're trying to play it out, like, play it straight, like, Act 1, have it to where Jesse just, like, lives next to the woods, and it's like, haha, there's that funny deer that's always shown up. I'm gonna throw a stick. He always chases it.
It throws it right into the Colonel's sprite, or right towards it, and Alan Dracula just jumps right the hell in.
It's just, oh god, oh man.
Wow, I guess that's cool. I have, like, a deer sprite, what's he got to say? And then it's exactly like whenever Jade tried to talk to Pequirrell, where it's just, like, flashing just colors insanity. Well, I'm never gonna talk to him again.
Or when, John tried to talk to the mannequin and it was all four leaves. When you exactly. tried to talk to Alan Dracula, it's just a whole bunch of leaves and grass.
And just flashing green.
I want leaves.
Give me the leaves.
I want grass. Give me the grass. Give me grass.
terrifying.
It should be kind of cold open. Okay. I told this to Brad the other day, my thoughts on Alan Dracula. Alan Dracula is what happens when you have a Colonel Sprite and you toss a Ditto Pokemon card and a taxidermy deer head into a Colonel Sprite.
Yeah. See, and that works because it does have an affinity for dead things, doesn't it?
We also decided that Jesse definitely has a whole binder full of Pokemon cards.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes, we talked about that.
He, oh my god, you're right.
He's the type.
Yeah.
And he brings them to school with him, and it makes all of his teachers just so angry at him.
Jesse's such a good boy. But in my notes, I put game construct, consort, and sprite for Jesse and MT. But mostly he's a Ditto with a deer. That's all he is. He broke the mold. He's a very good boy, but he's still just destructo deer.
Yes.
Okay. Do you have the Flex class spec?
I did not do a class spec for them. I had a very similar idea to yours.
That they are game constructs with Spades, Flex, and Diamond Droog.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, more or less.
Which is so good, and I really just want to default to that. But I did at least... I didn't do... what's the other guy? There's Mace and...
Sieve,
that's it.
The not important one.
The gay one.
I didn't do Sieve because I didn't think that he was... We didn't really get enough of him.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to pick.
Whereas with Mace, we got just enough, in my opinion, to do him. Or at least for me, enough to possibly... But... It's another one where you're gonna hate me.
I see it in front of me. I am seeing it.
Yep, you sure do see it, and I'm sure you don't like it.
I am looking at it.
I am looking. Prince of Hope.
Mm.
I keep making everybody princes. I'm sorry.
Mm. It's a good class.
It is a good class, but that definitely is a thing that you just did.
The first note that I wrote after that was, yeah, that's right, Aridin.
We have someone else for Aridin.
Did any of us really mourn Aridin? I mean, even though his death was brutal?
He got cut in half! He got cut in half, though!
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. Brutal?
Like, the third or fourth time I read through it, I mourned for him.
Yes.
But, like, not the first or second or third time.
But yes, God, he did get cut.
I remember that update so well because it was just screaming. Were you not at my house whenever we read that? Because I'm almost certain.
We were at mine, and this is the worst story ever because every time Gamzee was mentioned, we were in a storm and the lights would go out.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was really, really weird. It was kind of really messed up.
That is a
I'm not even kidding. The lights would flicker every single time. It was just like the most perfect coincidence that every time we said it, the lights would flicker. And we were just like, what the fuck? What the fuck?
We were just sitting in front of my computer with a bowl of Pop-Tarts that we were sharing. We were just like,
Gamzee? Lights flicker? Ha! Ah!
Oh! Paranormal activity. Burn some sage.
The spirit of the clown has come to haunt us.
Paranormal clowntivity.
Hey, dog.
In the dark, you just hear one quiet honk.
Just in the background. Then we go to listen to this later on. Like, I'm going to listen to the recording, and in the background, I just hear it silent, like a little teeny tiny bit of honking in the background. Where did that come from? It came from inside the house!
The power goes out and you just hear a little honk behind you. It'd be terrifying.
The haunting.
The honking.
The honking. The honking haunting.
Okay.
Honking.
As for Steve.
Okay, God.
Okay, elaborate.
Elaborate on Prince of Hope.
Yeah.
The reason is that, I mean, he tries to destroy Lake's hope of being a person over and over and over. He already tells her things like, you'll never be more than a sliver. I will never stop hunting you. All things to, like, psych her out and make her give up. He tries to destroy Jesse's faith in Lake in order to get him to open the door during the Toad Card episode. Like, where he sits outside the door, and it's just like, you know, you can't trust her.
That was Steve.
She's done it before. Mace. She's a criminal.
Yeah, Mace was the one who went to go get the...
Yeah, I think it was the other one.
Mace was the one who went to go get the big grinder.
Was it?
Yeah.
Damn it!
I mean, he still definitely tried to psych Lake out, so you're still correct.
The both of them together.
Let's just make him a Carpathian. I'm fucked. That's beyond belief.
That's all right. That's all right.
It's all gone pear-shaped.
Yeah. With me and Danny's thing. The other reason why I picked Dursite agents for them was, you know, with my original idea of having Lake be a kernel sprite of one of Tulip's, you know, a dead dream self for Tulip, having them be like, I don't know, this almost, not a defective thing, but like, they killed her once, and then she's alive as a kernel sprite, and that just pisses them off. They're just like, I'm gonna off her for good, see?
Like when they killed Jake with the peanuts.
Yes, exactly. But if that Jake got prototyped, and they kept seeing that, and they were just like, God damn it!
Can y'all imagine Jake sprite? Oh my god.
He would never shut the fuck up.
Oh no.
Don't like that.
At least we didn't come to the world sprite. Where, like, there was a Jake Dirk sprite. That would have been... Oh, boy.
Oh, God!
Can you imagine the level of self-hatred?
Oh.
I'd be someone who would never get along with themselves ever.
Never. It would be worse than aerosol sprite. Mm-hmm. And that's saying something.
At least they were shipped black with each other. That's Jake and Dirk are just... They tried to make that work, and it did not work.
It would just be a constant circulating void of hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold. And
they'd explode.
They would explode.
Instantly.
Though, if they'd be able to read each other's minds at that point, so I think it would also, like, give a level of balance to their relationship where they both felt guilty about doing stuff to the other one when they thought that they didn't want it.
Mm-hmm. If they didn't just outright explode, yeah.
Both those boys needed to communicate so bad, and they never did.
God, did they ever!
It would do it would force them to do the one thing that they absolutely couldn't do, but the thing is that I feel like the moment they were forced to communicate like that, they would just explode, because they can't do it. They just can't.
I think if anything, Dirk's will alone would just be like, no! Self-destruct!
Just hit the self-destruct button! I can't open up! No!
How dare you make me try to talk to my boyfriend.
I can't talk to my boyfriend! Self-destruct!
Self-destruct sequence activated. Alright.
Is that it for book two, then?
I have more thoughts about Steve and Mace.
Okay.
Maybe it's better for the shipping section. That's the reason I thought they were diamonds driven in space, like, because I ship them. Like, Steve is just so in love with Mace. It's ridiculous.
I can very much see that.
I believe that, yeah.
I'm finishing this for him. It's just the grieving lover. Grieving partner.
Those men are together way too often and way too intense.
It's like the one picture that the person posted on Twitter of their dad on the back of a motorcycle with David Bowie, but both of them are wearing very short denim shorts and the person's dad is shirtless and everybody just responding, David Bowie, fuck your dad!
David Bowie, did you fuck my dad? Did Steve and Mace fuck? The answer is
more than likely than you think.
Yes, I'm sure they did.
Definitely. Okay. Well, if
I have a class spec for the toad. He's a game construct, but he's also a page of light.
Ooh, I like that. Page of light?
Mm-hmm. Cause it seems like when he was introduced, he was so unlucky. Like, the people who came through, they had to kick him to get out. And he's like, please don't kick me. I don't want to be kicked.
Wait! I had the biggest, big brain idea.
Okay.
The toad is their perfect frog in the
Terrence is Bilious Slick.
They kicked their frog. That's why they fail.
That's why they succeeded, too.
It could talk. They're like, why does it talk for some reason? And then, like, have a person who, like, knows the game really well, and they're like, well, it's not supposed to do that.
I don't know why it's talking, but don't kick it. Please don't kick me. Why is it talking?
Why is it telling us not to kick it?
No, I really want to kick it.
That's Lake saying that.
Yeah, Jesse and MT weren't the ones that kicked the toad. Alan Dracula was the one that kicked Terrence.
Got too close to the kernel sprite. Got too close to the kernel sprite.
Oh my gosh.
What would happen?
And it just beat it.
What would happen if you if you prototyped Wireless Slick?
What would happen if you prototyped your Genesis Frog?
If you prototype your Genesis Frog and your first Guardian, you get the train.
Oh, that's some mind-bending shit. I don't even know where to start on comprehending that.
It's not the game, but it's like, it's universe inside. It's bigger on the inside. Dun, dun, dun.
It's a universe inside your kernel sprite. What the hell?
You get the dead city of Carcosa.
Oh, that's a deep cut. King in yellow.
Okay, we did it. We broke down the train. We figured out why it's so weird.
We figured it out.
They're Genesis Frog and the first Guardian inside of a train. Oh my goodness.
Why a train? Why not a train? It's turtles all the way down. Who cares?
We love the trolls.
Hey, welcome to the middle of the episode. This is the bit where I tell you about some cool projects we're a part of, let you know if anyone has any projects they want to share with us, and give you a little spiel about what Will at Homestuck does besides this podcast. First, if you weren't aware, we stream fanfiction from Homestuck and other fandoms every Monday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 4:30 p.m. Pacific Time on our Twitch channel at twitch.tv/willathomestuck. I also try to stream Homestuck fan games on Wednesday mornings and do a chill no-mic stream on Fridays, the keyword being try. Find our full schedule at our Twitch channel. Next, here's some projects we like and an ad break if we have a sponsor. The Alabaster Bible is a podcast featuring short stories in the gothic horror and magical realism genres, specifically written to be read aloud. Stories will range from straight-up horror to weird reality stories and everything in between. In addition to telling well-crafted stories, the goal of the Alabaster Bible is to highlight elements of the human experience, especially those of LGBTQIA+ folks, in a way that is compelling and entertaining, but not exploitative. This project is the work of Jonai O'Reilly and their collaborators. Episodes release on the first of every month. You can find out more information at alabasterbible.carrd.co. That's alabasterbible.carrd.co, or visit twitter.com/alabasterbible for updates. Hey, we have a musical album we think you'd like to check out. Hit it, JoJo.
Now, after fan outcry and popular demand, the second installment in the Funk McLovin collection is here, Class Act. Class Act will feature songs from the Song A Day project, as well as new original music. And for viewers on Bandcamp, there will be a B-side to Class Act featuring various Funk McLovin cover songs. All your favorites will be there, like Japanese Spider Crab.
The Japanese Spider Crab!
8 legs on each of my sides, and 2 nice long claws to boot. I'm the motherfucking Japanese Spider Crab! Don't try to tell me I ain't cute! I'm the longest arthropod.
You're at the ocean, but you're not alone. And many more.
Support Class Act by visiting funkmclovin.bandcamp.com. That's funkmclovin.bandcamp.com, or search for Funk McLovin on Spotify or Apple Music to partake in this experience.
Thanks. I hope you enjoy.
We'd also like to thank our classpecting undergrads, I Think You're Pretty Neat, and Sylph of Breath, as well as our Dreaming Moon scholars, Fleece, Kylo Ren, Starshine, and Shane, for helping out the show on Patreon. If you'd like to get a shout-out on the podcast, access to bonus episodes and outtakes, and more, please visit patreon.com/willathomestuck. And now, back to the episode.
Do you want to come to a consensus on season 2 first, or do you want to go to season 3 and then go back?
Probably go ahead and come to a consensus at the end of season 2. I feel like that makes sense.
Okay, pull up the doc then.
Bring up the document! What was your Jesse one?
My Jesse one was Knight of Heart.
Knight of Heart. Mine was Page of Heart. I fucked that up, so don't pick it.
Mine is Knight of Blood.
Got you already. You're
very
good.
Close.
I forgot.
Idea.
I forgot to write down the other ones. Let's see what we've got here.
It's okay.
And then me and Danny for Durside Agents.
Durside Agents. Mirror Cops. All cops are bastards. All mirror cops are bastards.
That is true.
They're bastards twice. They're bastards are reflection.
Wait. All mirror cops are bastards. AmCab. AmCab. All mirror cops are bastards. AmCab.
AmCab? It's like can has.
Oh, you dated yourself. You dated all of us because we all laughed at it too.
It's come back.
Oof.
Like just today I saw the picture of like they have a new meme where a cat is eating a cheeseburger, and it's like, it's been discovered, can has. Like, that's going around Tumblr right now.
Oh, no.
As, like, we finally figured it out sort of thing.
Oh, I hate that. Don't bring it back. We don't need it.
I mean...
can has, always have.
Always have. Always have has.
I think Heritage Post pretty much saved this year by just making us look back at our past mistakes.
We're making ourselves look very bad.
We really are. Okay, it's time to decide what we're going to keep from season two. So the options here were Lord of Rage. This is for like Lord of Rage, Thief of Breath, and Prince of Void. What are we feeling?
All very different, but all similar ideas of individualism.
Yeah, independence, mm-hmm. Making a name for yourself.
Yeah. We just gotta pick which we agree on is the best representation of that, I think.
Rage is the most important class in all of Homestuck. The most important character
clearly
is a Rage character.
Concept? Blake is unkillable.
Yes. I like this concept. I think that Blake deserves to be a masterclass.
I mean, I agree.
I don't know, though. Masterclass is just so OP.
Yeah, they are.
She's OP.
But I do agree she deserves the world.
She's OP. She uses her rage to get what she wants, which is off the train, and she did it. She did the impossible with her control of her rage. Good job. I love her. She did a very good job.
Possibly she smashes her,
the patriarchy.
Her god-tier clock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. But how would that play out whenever we do the game?
Yeah.
Well, the game isn't going to be the game. We did weird stuff to the train.
Yeah, we've already kind of established this is going to be one weird, messed up game, isn't it?
It's not like a regular session. It's like a weird session.
So are we going to make her Lord of Rage?
Much as I like Masterclass,
the most active.
I am kind of attached to my own, unfortunately.
We're all attached to our own is the thing.
Yeah.
They're all really good.
She is the most active. She is the most one with herself. She deserves the most active class.
See, the thing is, though, with Rage, it is good. But I feel like that story of individualism is what's especially important for her aspect.
Yeah, it really is about finding yourself.
She just isn't, like, leader-y enough to be a breath player, I don't think.
Yeah, definitely doesn't have to be breath.
Well, not necessarily, because breath is about just kind of playing to your own tune, and other people just naturally follow you, which is kind of what happens with Jesse. I mean, Jesse just kind of sticks to her like glue.
Well, Jesse would follow anyone, because
That's very true.
That's fair.
That man is made of Velcro.
But Alan Dracula also follows her, so...
Have like first guardian following you.
Alan Dracula wanders off and like starts hanging around with Jesse.
True.
He's following the leaves.
He's following the vibe.
I think Alan Dracula is like mostly following. If anyone's a breath player, it's Alan Dracula.
The most free of us all.
The freest.
Everyone has to follow Alan Dracula. They had to pull him away from that crane machine like 12 times.
Yeah.
Does he even know what's going on? That's the real question.
Is he a little bastard and he knows it?
He's just a wild animal that just got caught in the train.
a wild animal that somehow has, like, ditto powers.
That's what happens when you get on the train. Things get weird.
Are you implying that the train came and picked up a random deer and then it just got insane powers?
Or he is a juju.
Ooh.
Theory. He is the deer in Adventure Time where he removes his hooves and there's hands underneath.
Oh, I've seen so many people say that exact same thing.
We love fans.
All right. We gotta pick something.
But this is so hard. It really is.
It's a really tough call.
Maybe we should come back to it whenever we actually do the game.
Oh.
She is the most OP. She's the best. She's got to be master of something.
See, the only thing that bothers me about her having a master class is that her journey is not easy. Not to say that, you know, master class journeys are not easy. They definitely are not, because they're, you know, more or less designed to weed out the weak. But nothing really just, like, instantly becomes easy for her in the end, kind of the way that Caliborn does. Once he becomes Lord of Rage, pretty much everything has fallen into place and he can do, you know, whatever the hell he wants. That never really happens with Lake.
Yeah, the reason things were so easy for him was because he didn't prototype anything. But consider Lake getting leprechauns.
Oh no! I kinda love that though!
That is pretty funny.
It's just Lake walking around and she keeps turning around like, go away! And they just keep following.
God.
They won't leave her alone. She doesn't want them. There's no way that she would want a whole bunch of, like, a troop of leprechauns following her. She'd just tell them to leave, but they wouldn't.
True.
Oh my gosh. What if all of Dracula is all the leprechauns in a deer suit?
All of the leprechauns in a deer suit and they're just following behind because otherwise that's the only way that they can follow her.
God.
Oh, don't mind us. We're just an innocent little deer here.
It would make sense. He does have all the powers of all leprechauns, pretty much.
I mean, true.
Oh,
she can
I don't
be, like, role-playing
know.
All the classes. Hey, since she's a mirror, she could reflect other people. She could reflect their classes. Well, she could always be role-playing as a different class, or, like, aspect inversion.
That's true.
Or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
I can't decide. It's so difficult.
Yeah.
I really can't. Do you guys want to just skip to Jesse?
Okay.
Yeah, we'll just skip to Jesse for right now.
Alright. So for Jesse, we have Knight of Blood, Knight of Heart, and Page of Heart. That's all pretty similar.
He's definitely in the service class.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, just throw mine in the garbage, like, right off the bat.
Okay, so it's between Knight of Heart and Knight of Blood, then.
Yeah.
I mean, he could be, like we said, the Knight of Heart role-playing the Knight of Blood. I think that'd be the easiest thing to do.
I like that a lot, actually. I think that one's pretty easy.
We did it!
Wow, we actually made a decision after sitting here on Lake for, like,
good job,
10
us.
Minutes. Good job.
Right, we're all in agreement that the Mirror Cops are Dursight agents.
Yeah.
Yep, and they're in love. They should kiss. I think it'd be neat.
Yeah.
They're definitely Moirels, at least.
Oh, definitely. Certainly.
It's more flushed on Steve's side than Mace's side. Just like it's more flushed on Diamond's Droog's side than Spade's Slick side.
A queer platonic sort of situation of unrequited romantic feelings.
If only they weren't cops, because all cops are bastards.
You know what's so funny is that... At the top here, you know, I wrote what Mace was, but then at the very bottom, I didn't even realize that I did write, he'd make a good Carpathian agent. Imagine the mirror crew.
Oh my god.
Good. I didn't even
make
say anything about it.
Member of the mirror crew.
Consider, what if we've got the mirror crew, what if Lake was a former member and has abandoned
make
them? That's why they're so hell-bent on getting her in particular.
Ooh.
Snitches get stitches.
Ooh. Not a player. That would make her, like, Miss Paint almost.
Yeah.
Oh, little Carapace.
That would solve our problem about us not being able to pick a classmate for her.
She's a Carapace who becomes a player.
Yeah, exactly. It's like what I was saying in the last episode. The reason why I had a hard time picking a classmate for her was because that whole journey of getting a number says to me, if you were trying to translate it to the Homestuck setting, she is not a player, but she wants to be.
She has to be a player to get out. That's how things go.
Now the question is, how do we make it so that she is a player? But I guess that's more of a question for the game itself.
I mean, once they get to Earthsea, they do take some of the sprites with them. So, like, I mean, she can leave.
That's true.
Once they win.
That's true.
Yes.
We solved our problem.
We'll get into that when we get to the game session. Yeah. Okay, do you want to keep the toad? Do you want to keep Alan Dracula as class-spectable or non-class-spectable?
I don't think
Randall.
I don't think that important.
Randall.
I just love Randall.
Randall is going to get, like, I swear he's going to get more screen time the more seasons go on, because he was, like, longer in this episode, or this season, than he was in the past two put together.
We can only hope.
He's somebody's consort. It's just all Randall's.
I always want more Randall.
That's why he's a Knight of Life. He's just, he's coming. Oh, Lord, he's coming. I also put evil next to Randall.
Evil? That's the question.
He's going to start the apocalypse.
All right, do we want to go ahead and start book three?
Yes. Yeah, the season three people were, like, really hard for me to class back. It took me, like, 20 minutes each on them. It was ridiculous.
Well, let's go ahead and get it out of the way, then. We're going to do it in the same order, right?
Sure.
I've got, as far as, like, the character order, I've got Grace, Simon, and then Hazel.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do, too, actually.
Oh, okay. So you want to do it in that order?
We'll do Grace, Simon, Hazel, and...
Yeah, I put Tuba under there.
Tuba as well.
Alright, go time, Danny.
Let's go!
Okay. Tuba, I put... She's a game construct, but she's also Mom Sprite. I think that's neat. That's what my thoughts are for Tuba. Anyway, for Grace, I made her a rogue of breath, and I put a question mark next to that because I wasn't sure where to put her. She was, like, really difficult for a really long time. It's like, when we see her flashback, she's shoplifting for attention. Every time she talks to a child, she's, like, trying to make them feel better. She wants to be in charge, but, like, she can't figure out how to do that with herself. She's just doing her best. Let me find her actual notes before I go. Oh, I took a note. It's been a bad, 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 bad year. Season 3, episode 1. And they're right.
Yeah.
Also, in the first episode, they sang "When I Look at You, I See Me," and Jesse tries to sing this in the second episode of season 2.
He does! I completely forgot about that. Yeah, they have him sing the exact same song.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he doesn't actually sing it. He just tries to get other people to sing it, which is interesting, because now they've actually sung it. It's like, even when they go through, they're leaving stuff behind that affects the train forever, which I think is something to look forward to.
I have something to add, but it's going to be related to my own class back, so I'm just going to wait.
Yeah, I couldn't decide if she was a thief or if she was a rogue. I eventually put her as a rogue because that's a passive class. And I think she's definitely more people orientated than self-orientated.
Yeah, that's fair.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Actually, also, I put her as a passive class for the same reason.
Okay, Deet. That's basically my notes on her. I don't have very much that makes sense.
Oh, you're
it's
good.
Just... list of her personality traits and quotes and such.
Yeah.
I also struggled with this season and classfecting a lot, so I completely get that.
I had a little bit of trouble at first until I started making decisions, and then it just kind of snowballed into, hey, that works. So I have her as Sylph of Blood because she has a huge personal journey about healing. She turns into basically the inverse of what her character is introduced as, which...
So she starts off inverted.
Yeah, pretty much.
Ooh.
Because all of her personal journey is not just, like, Tulip or Jesse overcoming an issue. It's healing and becoming a better person, healing the trauma and healing the pain. And not just for herself, hence the blood, for other people. Because you've got, obviously she tried to keep Simon alive when they first met and everything. But they also took in all these kids in Apex. They remembered being scared and alone. So they made a group where they had some safety in numbers. And she tries to be a leader of that. So she very much has this healing of relationships in that she is trying to do best for everybody.
That's really good. I like that.
Yeah, especially with the idea that blood, you know, forming Apex is absolutely a blood thing.
Plus, too, you've got her starting out very inverse. In some of the flashbacks, remember in her ballet class, she gets those other girls to start fighting with each other.
She just has to walk by and say something and, like, everyone.
Sylph of blood, but in reverse.
She will cause problems on purpose.
Yeah, more or less, that was Little Grace.
Yeah, even in season 2, she was still causing problems on purpose. That was the purpose of the Apex, was to cause problems on purpose.
Yeah, trying to cause a rift between Jesse and Lake. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And the train in general, just destroy the train cars, destroy the nulls, all of it. Protect the children, but destroy everything else. Get your number as high as possible. I like that.
Yeah, which again kind of goes into that. What is the end result of her journey to heal the damage that she's done?
Yes.
I love that. That's really good. Yeah, you know, mine kind of pales in comparison now.
right?
So I put her as Seer of Minds just because she's good at manipulating in the fact that she can see what is on the minds of others, essentially, right?
That's great.
She can tell what she needs to say, what she needs to do in order to get her way. You know, I wrote some things down, like some lines. For example, in the very beginning, whenever all the kids are walking up to her and giving her an item that at the end of the raid, and she tells each and every single one of them, it's part of my special secret collection, don't tell anyone else.
That was cute.
Right. But at the same time, it's manipulative because she's telling them this stuff just to, you know, keep them in line and keep them in check. Yeah, it's sweet what she's doing, but it does have its ulterior motives.
Yeah.
She gets people to trust her.
That's what I like about Hazel. She's very morally gray in that sense.
Grace.
I said Hazel. I meant Grace. You know what I mean?
Hazel's a morally gray character.
Hazel's a morally gray character, yes.
Morally gray turtle.
So please! Morally gray turtle.
We definitely need to put this has spoilers for season 2 and 3 in our notes.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, I liked Haze.
Yeah, let's just kind of...
I think that's the best one. Let's just agree
put
with
that
Tay.
Down and
Tay,
agree.
You have all the brain cells. You did it. You did it in one.
Damn, all right. Okay, cool.
My turn for Simon.
Simon.
Bastard.
Bastard Simon. Boy.
The bastard man. Okay, I diagnosed him as something. Well, you two agreed with me. We diagnosed him as Aridan Ampora. That's just how he is.
I mean, he dies at
he
the end
literally,
of everything.
He literally had the same exact... this girl I have a crush on betrayed me, and now I have to try to kill her. That's like...
That's what we were talking about yesterday.
Yeah, that's what I told Danny, that exact same thing, that how we were talking about it yesterday, and it was just like, oh, I don't like either of those options.
Okay.
Yeah, but I didn't classify him as Aridan Ampora. I classified him as a Prince of Space.
Prince of Space?
Okay, all right.
Because space, the classic cheat sheet, is all about creation, distance, physical space. It's like, he has such huge abandonment issues for, like, being abandoned by his little consort kitty, Samantha. It's like, he is desperate for connection. Despite being an Aridan and an incel, but like, yeah, but
yeah, that's true.
He's Aridan if he didn't get chainsawed in half, but instead just melted.
Yeah,
had his face ripped
started
off.
Started at the face instead. That's interesting too, because what I was saying about the differences between void and space, void being like craving that, and space being, you know, it just thrust upon you. He would be interesting in that regard because that space is thrust upon him, but he just leans into it when he's like, yeah, whatever, everybody's my enemy.
Yeah, he just kind of isolates himself.
Especially with Amelia being a witch of time, like, they are foils for each other. She says that she was the fake conductor, and he just does not believe her. He's like, I refuse to believe that you were the fake conductor, and one is the real conductor the whole time.
If we could skip to mine just really quick, because it actually fits that so, so well. Yeah. And is the whole reason. Just because I'm like, you know what? This is the perfect time to segue into mine. Sorry to skip yours for just a second. But I put him as of blood because he goes so far as to essentially sabotage his own relationships over and over and over again.
A prince of blood?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. You just want to class back to everyone a prince.
I know. I hate it. I don't mean to do it, and I didn't even realize that I had done it that many times, but apparently I just want to make everyone a freaking prince. I don't know. But you know what? Considering that this is Infinity Train, and this is just a whole bunch of broken-ass people, does it really not make sense that a lot of them would be princes? They're the self-destructive type. That's just kind of how you have to be on the train. But anyways, specifically how he drives wedges into his own relationships. Case in point, like, whenever he easily tells Hazel with a smile, yeah, I wield her. No problem. Automatically just putting his foot in that bond and just destroying it.
Yeah, he's an awful boy. I had such high hopes for him. He's just...
Yeah.
Right before he wheeled Tuba, I was like, he's getting his character arc. He's being a good person to Nulls, finally, after all this time. And then he wheeled Tuba, and my faith in him dropped to the floor.
Yup.
There is no redemption after that. That was cruel.
He can't keep any relationships. He just can't trust anyone. And, like, whenever he gets back to Apex, he immediately starts wheeling anybody who disagrees with him. They don't outright say it, but the kids all agree whenever he asks, what do we do to people who don't agree with us? We wheel them. That implies that he's been wheeling the kids.
Or they just are truly, truly scared that he's gonna.
He asked the kids, what do we do with voids? And they all looked confused. Like, what do we do with voids? He said, we wheel them. So I don't think he'd wheeled anyone yet.
I don't know. I took it as them being, like, reluctant to say it because it was Grace. Mm-hmm.
Because they all looked really confused about it, and then immediately after he said that, they were like, yeah, we wheel the voids! Because they're children, and...
The other thing is, too, that I don't think he's done it yet, because I think he wheeled children, his number would have been that high already. Like, as high up to his face as it got to after he thought he killed Grace.
That's true. That's very true. Yeah. But either way, the point remains, you know, when Grace extended that offer of, like, truce to him, he immediately just broke it in half.
Yeah.
That relationship was open with him. He could have let her forgive him and etc., but he didn't. He made the point of pushing her off.
Yeah. Too, when they are discussing why she lied to him and everything, what Grace was telling him, like, at that point, she is just being open. Yes, I did lie to you. But it's because you would have tried to kill Hazel, and I just needed time to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of listening, it was just completely shut out. That mm-hmm. argument was done before it started. In his mind, he had already decided.
Yep. And that's a common thread with Simon. In his mind, he had already decided.
Yeah, that's true, which is a very princey thing. That all being said, that's a good segue into mind. We all chose princes, first
Yay!
Of all. Because it's the shithead.
Yeah.
I mean, not always, but like... Aerodon.
Dirk.
I mean, yeah. he can be. But, mine's super blunt. Prince of Life. Simon's a murderer. The end.
Yeah.
That's fair.
That's true.
He's the destroyer of life.
Two times. One attempted, one successful.
Yeah. And I count Grace as successful enough because if not for the little birdies... Yeah, she would have died.
Oh, yeah.
And he fully intended
He thought he killed her. I mean, yeah. Because that's when he had his complete and utter breakdown.
Yeah, exactly. So I count if you think you really murdered somebody and you really went through with it, even if it turns out that they survived, you still tried to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, ups your, I guess, you killed it. Tried to kill somebody, you're a killer.
Yes. The reason I put him more mm-hmm. space is because all of his little, like, paintings, and he wrote a novel. That's the creative side of space.
True that.
Prince, they either actively destroy their aspect, or they actively destroy with their aspect. And I think driving space between people is definitely what he's doing when he kills them off.
True.
Like, he's pushing them off into space. He wheels them.
Okay, consider, though, if we make him space, that means he has to work with the time player, which is Amelia.
Oh,
and they he has to be the frog breeder.
I know. Oh, isn't it great?
Hate.
That's why this session sucks.
Oh,
wait.
This is the worst session in existence.
Wait a minute, though. I'm putting my foot down. He has to be this because he hates Knowles, you know, to the end, right?
Mm-hmm.
It means he has to work in creating gnolls,
yes.
Creating the frogs,
oh
breeding
God.
Them. He wouldn't. He'd refuse to do it. Their session would die out because of Simon.
Yes.
Oh, that's really good.
Yes.
Are we casting our vote? Because I cast mine.
For the Prince of Space.
Yeah, God, that's awful.
I love it.
This is the worst session ever.
And it would be perfect because, like, you have a lot of your time players that are usually knowing in how game stuff works. So Amelia would be, kind of like she is in season 3, trying to tell him how it is. And then he'd be like, no.
I disagree.
Frog's dumb.
This is terrible and I love it.
They already have a frog. They kicked it.
They kicked it. Yeah, they sure did kick it.
Yeah, if this was a regular Superb session, that's how it would go out, and it would never get off the ground, but, like, this is a special session.
No, it absolutely would die.
Yeah, no, they'd have to scratch it, and what if they just left Simon?
No!
Scratch it and leave his ass.
I mean, all they need to do is, like, start the forge, and then they can go off and do whatever they need to do.
If Amelia just has two frogs...
Hey, and she tries to make frogs, but she ends up making turtles. Okay, so he's the Prince of Space. We go on.
Yeah,
I think I can live with that for sure.
Okay.
Then Hazel, right?
Yeah. All right. Floor is yours, Danny.
Okay, Hazel, we had some talks while we were in the pause times, but I think that she is an AFAB clone of Alric, because Alric... is probably AFAB. And the train just like, hey, AFAB person, ta-da. Anyway, either that or she's an ectobiology Amelia's daughter.
And like, transgluey brain, good. Hazel is her own person, so she's not necessarily the same in Alric and that she decides her, you know, she identifies the same way as he does, so.
Obviously, she's part turtle, so she's not an exact Alric. But I think there's like...
Yeah.
She made her to try to make Alric, and she made a little daughter instead.
Yeah.
Anyway, I made her a passive class, and I made her a sylph of hope, because she is doing her best to make everyone feel better.
She is very hopeful.
She's just a little child, and she's innocent, and she is trying to keep her chin up even when bad things happen. It's just so sweet. She's looking at the bright side when bad things are happening.
That's true.
We're over here just like, yeah, because there's some overlap going on.
She sang that song at the funeral, and it made me sob in my bed at midnight. It's like, how dare this
God
show for children make me cry like this?
If you didn't cry, then you're a fucking liar.
I didn't.
Only because you had already seen it, and you... I didn't cry when we were watching. Well, you're lying.
Yeah, and she's six, so she's, like, really easy to convince things, or whatever. Like, they told her about 1-1, she's like, I hate 1-1. And then she actually meets someone who knew 1-1, and he's like, oh.
Yes. That's true. She's a very, that is kind of a hope thing, is to just be impressionable, isn't it?
Maybe.
Yeah.
She wants to believe that Grace is telling her the truth.
Yeah.
She wants to believe in Grace. She does believe in Grace implicitly.
Yeah.
And like, right after Tuba died, Simon grabbed Grace's arm and she's like, no, you can't do that. And then she's crying in Grace's arm and she says, I'm going to be strong like Tuba now. I'm going to be Tuba. And protect you. And it's like, baby, you're just
funny.
A child.
Yeah.
I agree that she's a helpful I'm gonna I'm be already Tuba. Casting my vote on that.
She's just a baby. She's like, why are you all afraid of me? It's like, baby, you're just a baby. Stop.
The train is just too cruel to a child like her.
Yeah.
She's 6. Amelia's been on there for 30 years, but she's a 6-year-old. She's just a baby.
Yeah.
She was adopted by a mom like Tarzan. She's just a little Tarzan child.
Tuba is Tarzan's mom. Wait, we're so right on that, because before Tarzan comes along, they did have a little gorilla baby that they lost.
I know.
Just like Tuba's kids.
No. Then she asks Tuba when she meets Grace, am I a kid? She's like, you don't.
I'm going to meet other kids.
She's just so young.
This is real Hazel loving hours.
She deserves it. We love small children here.
We just cry about Hazel and how cute she is.
She's so little. I love that she has a giant mom. She deserves a giant mom. And they sing to each other.
She deserves it.
Amelia better protect her. See, book 4, if it happens, I swear to God.
All right.
And Sylph, like, the only Sylph that we have in, like, the main cast is Kanaya, and she's, like, the most motherly one. She was raised by an actual mother grub.
Mm-hmm.
If that's not Sylph, I don't know what is. She's got the mom instincts. She is baby, and she needs a mom.
Mom, indeed. Okay. Like I said, I already cast my vote that Hazel is a Hope player.
Yeah.
But I'll go ahead and throw mine out. I said heir of space, in that she inherits loneliness.
That's sad. That's so sad.
She's too little.
I don't really have to say much else about that.
I love that that's all you left it at, too. And it's just like, we just had to sit there with that for a few seconds. Like, oh, God. She inherits loneliness.
I don't like it.
She's just 6.
She's just a baby.
All right, well, mine's kind of related because I put it as heir of hope.
Yay!
And the main reason for that is that I was looking at her role in the story and hope as in, like, yes, it's related to how she is, but also if that were, you know, a power that she's gaining, because she doesn't exactly do anything to make Grace change other than just being, you know, a sweet child that trusts and believes every word that Grace says until she doesn't. I'd say the air part of her classback comes in whenever she changes into a turtle creature. Because it's not something she does on purpose. It just happens to her. And it's that that kind of triggers the start of her hope powers working on Grace.
Yeah, inheritance.
And starting to change her via those hope powers.
Yeah, and the air class is very... You start out with a lack of it, and then you get a whole bunch of it. And, like, the bad end for an air is, like... becoming that aspect.
Mm-hmm.
That would happen if she died and they used her memory to go on forever, like they did with Tuba.
Yeah.
Well, she did kind of leave. I mean, she did kind of just become a memory for Grace to do better.
Yeah.
Because she never got to reconcile with Hazel.
I hope she's in season 4.
Yeah.
I love her.
I hope she gets that chance. Not that Hazel has to forgive it, but for closure reasons, because she deserves it.
Yeah, she really does.
What if the next time she sees Grace, she's like as old as Grace is, and Grace isn't aged? She's like, no!
No!
Because Amelia's, she's like, you'll be interesting to do experiments on. It's like, no! Don't do experiments on my daughter!
Why is this season so sad?
I think that Amelia is going to adopt her once she realizes, like, this is my daughter with Elric.
We can only hope. I'm praying for that.
Right.
I mean, she was there for, like, talking to Amelia, and, like, her number started going down once she talked to Hazel. It's like, aw, the mother instincts.
Yeah. Right.
Let's make a choice for Hazel here. So
I'm in favor of Brad's heir of space, I think, or not space.
Heir of hope.
Heir of hope.
Heir of hope. Yeah, because I think that inheritance fought on.
I think I convinced you guys of all the other ones, so I'm okay with giving this one up as long as she's still a hope player.
Yeah.
Okay.
Heir of hope.
I'm good with that. I mean, I'm always going to be attached to my own. Like, don't get me wrong. Yeah. There's a reason why I came up with them. So, alrighty. Air of Hope. Easel. Okay.
Alright.
We've actually got a good spread going on right now.
We got consensus this time. We did it.
Yeah. Yeah, we're having no doubles. Hell yeah. Okay. Are we gonna class spec tuba?
I did not. I'll be straight up honest. I just came up with Tuba Sprite Gorilla plus prototyping a tuba, and there you go.
Yeah, I also made her a sprite. I made her mom sprite.
I actually did class spec tuba, and it's really sad.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
Yeah.
No. Tell me.
It's 100% related to her role in the story. In that same way that Hazel was.
Tell me, but I'm gonna hate it.
I made her Knight of Doom.
No.
Her whole point in the story, we don't ever get to know her that well. We start to when she reveals a bit of backstory regarding her kids, but that only serves to throw us off track and make us think that she'll survive. But in the meta sense of the story, she was a character made to die. Her death is the first domino to fall that causes Hazel to reveal her true form. Showing Grace if she's a null, kickstarting Grace's gradual change, Simon's betrayal, all of it.
Yeah.
She was made to die. And that's it. She serves death.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey.
You're right.
Yep.
I don't like that. But also, if she's meant for death, that makes her perfect for a sprite.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So like both. Ta-da! We did it.
Yeah, you're right. It's both. Tuba Sprite.
We're making her live, goddammit.
She lives this time. No wheel.
God damn it.
she fell and she didn't get wheeled. She went right into the Colonel Sprite. That's it. She's fine. Tuba's fine.
She can't die. It wasn't heroic or just.
Getting wheeled is not heroic.
Like, he was so close to being a good person. Oh my god, Simon.
You could see him think about it. He almost did it. He almost helped her.
He was almost a good person. He saved her, and then he fucked off and was bad. It's like, what the fuck is wrong with you, Simon? What the fuck?
Yeah. I do have one last thing to say now that we've kind of come to the end here. Mm-hmm. It hit me that if you invert what my original thing was for Bard of Rage, which, you know, we didn't end up deciding on that, right?
I don't think
so. No, Amelia. Witch of Time.
Yeah. Witch of Time. But I did want to say that this is pretty cool. If you invert that, like, directly across, Maid of Rage, she's trying to heal the chaos that she caused. She's going through the train cars and healing every single, like, bit of the chaos that she caused. Or at least trying to.
Yeah, you're right.
She went from passive to active and is now actively trying to heal the problem she caused.
Yeah.
And I thought that was pretty neat.
That's neat.
It is literally directly across.
Character growth hours. That's class spec inversion for you.
Even though that's not the one that we picked.
Still similar ideas, though.
Yes.
Also, we need to diagnose the Vriska.
Diagnose the Vriska.
Simon.
No, he's the Aridin.
They're trying really hard not to diagnose the Vriska as a boy. I think it's Grace, though. Like, it was the cat. I originally did the cat because the cat was the thief of life. Light. But I think it's Grace this year.
I could agree that Grace is the Vriska, yeah.
I can agree with that, yeah.
I did it again.
I poke fun. I was just like, Simon, because usually when you say who's the Vriska, you're just like, who's the most bastard here?
They can both be the bastard. That's nothing wrong with Grace being the bastard.
And she's,
I mean, Grace
is.
Absolutely is the master too. She gets better.
She changes.
There's a list of characteristics. Let me find it real quick. Okay, so how to diagnose?
Definitely
Vriska.
Goes from anti-hero to hero. So,
yeah, the main thing is who's the anti-hero. I feel like is the main qualifier.
Yeah, which
and
I think.
And Simon does not, in fact, become the anti-hero.
No, he just becomes the straight up
villain. And if you think about it, how Aridin kept trying to romance Vriska early on, I mean...
Yeah, that's true. They were black for a while.
Okay. A running list of Vriska characteristics. A dirty, nasty girl. Tries very hard to do what she believes is the right thing. Does not always do good things in the pursuit of what she believes is the right thing.
Very true.
Has a strong desire to be in the spotlight. influenced and groomed by a creepy, manipular older adult. Compets on some boy.
Yes.
Has a turbulent, emotional, close, and fraught relationship with her best friend, who she almost definitely has a crush on. This person does not ever stop believing in rooting for the best guy, even if it's in secret.
Well.
He's kind of stupid. An explicit fuck you to the idea that women can't be like this.
Yeah, literally all of that. That's true. And also, I was thinking about Grace's parents and how their expectations, like, messed her up. Yeah, that's...
Yeah, that's quite fair. Yeah.
That's pretty Vriska.
Yep. It's Grace, it's Vriska. We did it. That's our thing.
That actually was not hard at all.
Yeah.
Just like, Grace, Vriska, done. What's next?
So, we have everybody picked out.
Do we want to just go down the list and read it out?
Yeah.
Alright, so we have Tulip, Maid of Mind, Amelia, Witch of Time, Jesse, Knight of Heart, Grace, Slith of Blood, Simon, Prince of Space, and Hazel, Heir of Hope. And the next thing that we have to do is the game, which is gonna be one absolute mess.
Woohoo.
I'm excited, though.
It's very exciting.
Hope all of you are excited for this travesty of a game.
I'm so excited to give you all the theories. Oh my gosh. In our game, Randall can be our antagonist.
The Randall is the Red Miles. He doesn't stop. He just keeps coming. Because you can't stop the Randall. You can't escape the Randall. That's how we did it. We made Randall the main antagonist. Congratulations, everyone.
Lord Randall.
He just, like, shoots through your sternum all of a sudden, like, you know, like the Red Miles do, and you look down and it's just this little face. I've murdered you.
Exile 1-1 is just like, can't release the Randalls. They won't stop. I can't do this.
You've got to stop the Randalls.
You have both the Queen's rings. You toss them into the volcano, and Randall catches both of them. I'm the queens now.
If we're settled on the idea that each individual one is the black and white king, there is no queens. They're just like, I married myself. I love me.
So like you married another Randall. Oh, Randall wedding.
I'm Queen Randall, and I'm Queen Randall.
Oh, the Randall monarchy.
Then they just start furiously making out.
Oh my gosh.
Shit, it's come full circle of our Randall X11.
Randall X11, you heard it first here, folks.
Randall.
Your name is 11, and you absolutely hate kings.
Oh. When we do the game, this is going to be hellacious.
Okay. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. This has been Bradley, and you can find me at the Will at Homestuck Discord, and really nowhere else because I'm not active anywhere else, so come find me there.
I've been Danny, and you can find me on the Will at Homestuck Discord server, where I have been attempting to transcribe the back episodes, more or less successfully. I'll get there eventually.
This has been Tay. You can find me at MeowsersWowsers on Twitter.
Hey, thanks for listening. Please remember to also check out the donation links in the description and keep an eye out for ways you can contribute to your local community. If you like what you heard, follow us at WillItHomestuck on Twitter. If you want to support the show, check out our Patreon or Ko-fi, both of which are at WillItHomestuck. Don't forget to check out our weekly fanfiction streams at WillItHomestuck on Twitch, and you can even join in our community streams the first Monday of every month. Next week, we're either going to return to Mary Poppins and put our members of the Fae into a session, or we're going to visit a truly despicable theme park in Westworld. Our recording schedule and editing availability are a smidge all over the place, but hey, there's a plague on. We'll see you next week for something.